Today on Real Radio.
What a great thing to know that Satan can be defeated now in the name of Christ. Listen, we are no match for Satan. He is a real spiritual entity. But listen, let's not give him too much glory either. He's not omniscient. He's not everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through Paul's letter to the Ephesians. We're in its final chapter, chapter 6, and in a series within a series called The Christian in Complete Armor. Our focus is verses 10 through 20. This is where the author uses metaphors of military garments and equipment in describing how we are to fight the spiritual warfare into which every believer has been recruited. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs in a presentation called Wrapped in Truth.
Finally, my brethren, says Paul, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, demonic, satanic, spiritual powers. Therefore, he says in verse 13, now this is our response to verses 10 through 12. How do we fight against spiritual darkness? How do we fight an invisible war? He says, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. And for me, now here comes Paul's prayer request, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 20, it is the key, it is the turning point for the Christian regarding their success or not in this life. You and I saw in our previous studies that we need to be waking up to the fact that we are involved in a spiritual war. If there was ever a true X-file, it's for the Christian. If there was something that could not be exactly explained with strange and bizarre phenomenon and unusual activity, it is the true Christian life. The moment we come to Christ, our eyes are opened and our hearts are revealed into a spiritual kingdom. And at the start, we enjoy it because it is prayer. It is Bible reading. It's fellowship. It's lifting our hands in song, and it's just being together. And God will allow that condition to be enjoyed by the new Christian. But as the Word is exposed to the heart, as more and more Bible studies taken in, God will allow in your life, in my life, more and more exposure to the spiritual realm. It's just the way that it is. We are not playing a game. This thing that we're taking time out to do, I should say, not taking time out, but which we've made our lives, the pursuit of Christ, this is something that is not some game. We're just not a bunch of moral people who have gotten together. It is real. And the forces that fight against us are real. They are spiritual. You can't see them unless the Lord allows you for whatever purposes to see them. I know that some of you have seen them. And you might be here tonight going, oh, Lord, show me something in the spiritual realm, until you see something, and then you'll say, Lord, don't ever show me anything again in the spiritual realm. This is a spiritual battle. Have you ever gotten up in the morning and just felt like, what's it called here in Chino realm area? Cow patties? Have you ever felt like that? A pasture, whatever you guys call those things. Where's all the dairymen at now? They're getting all quiet here. You ever feel like that? You ever wonder why? You ever get up and you just look at somebody's face and it's like, I don't like them today. Some of you are looking at each other. Listen, it could be spiritual. You ever just walk into work and everything is like nails on a chalkboard? It just doesn't fit. You can't explain it. Have you ever been emotional? You're just emotional. You can't explain why. Now, for me, I do suffer severely from PMS, personally. You know what the real definition of PMS is? The very first definition ever given to PMS is pre or post ministry syndrome. It happens before and after every message a pastor or an evangelist gives. You feel terrible preparing it, and you feel terrible after giving it. It's just, you can't explain it. And there's this topsy-turvy kind of a thing. Many times it's spiritual attack. Now, we can't blame it always on spiritual attack, but sometimes it is. But as we get into this tonight, I want to draw to your attention and really bring back to remembrance the theme of this entire book of Ephesians, because, boy, we really need to hang on it tonight as we look in verse 14. But before we do, remember the theme. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Now listen to that. Remember this theme. Who has blessed us. It's all past tense. I love knowing this. It's a done deal. He's blessed us with everything we need to fight the Christian fight right now. Well, Jack, then why am I struggling so much? You know what? You and I struggle so much because we don't stay in the battle and in the Lord, in the Spirit. We so often get our eyes off of, like Peter, Christ, and we begin to sink in the water. But the theme of the book tells us that everything that God can give us has already been provided, and we're going to be looking at one of the implements of warfare tonight. He has given, he continues to give, every spiritual blessing. He's gone before us. You know, that's a great comfort. Have you ever dreaded something? I don't know what it is in your life. Each of us have our own thing that we dread. And isn't it a wonderful thing when you're dreading it? Oh, boy, the moment I get home, or the moment I see this, or there's the mailman. Oh, no. And you just dread it. Whatever that thing might be in your life, maybe it's Monday. You just dread it. Whatever it is in your life. It is so wonderful to be dreading something and then come to it to find out only then that someone has taken care of it for you. It's like coming home and someone's mowed your lawn. Wow. It's so really, it's wow. And I don't know what it is for you. For me, it's taking out the trash. It is my worst thing in the home to do, is take out the trash. I don't know why. I just hate it. I only have to go about 35 feet from the side of the yard to the curb. I just hate it. I'll ignore it. Those green and black plastic wheelbarrow bucket things are out there, and I'll pull up, and I know they're empty, and now they've got to be brought back in, and I'll just park the car, and I'm in total denial about it. I don't even want to look at that thing. Somebody honks up the street, or, hey, Jack, it's like, hey, I don't want to get near the trash can. I don't want to touch the thing. I don't know what it is. And to see it brought in, they're not there. My first thought is, thank God somebody stole those cans. But then to realize someone put them away. It's wonderful. Listen, concerning our spiritual warfare, Christ has gone ahead of us. Where are we going? Hey, we don't know exactly. Where will you be next month? Where will you be next year? Where will I be? I don't know, but I know who does know. And I'm going to be trusting in him. Isn't it awesome? When Jesus rose again from the dead, he told the women to go tell the disciples, and the angels even reminded them, go tell the disciples that Christ has gone ahead of them into Galilee. He does it for all of us. What's before you? Christ is going ahead. Jesus has already prepared the way. He has called us to a spiritual battle that he has already won. When he hung on that cross and said, it's finished, he was not joking. And I love when the apostles and the disciples came back from their first missionary journey. They were so excited because they saw people come to Christ and they saw demons subject to their power in the name of Christ. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall. I just saw him. He was falling. What a great thing to know that Satan can be defeated now in the name of Christ. Listen, we are no match for Satan. He is a real spiritual entity. But listen, let's not give him too much glory either. He's not omniscient. He's not everywhere. He's not omnipresent. He's not all-powerful. He's not all-knowing. Even, I personally believe, even in Bible studies, this is my personal belief. I can't prove it. But I believe when the Word of God is going out like it is right now, I believe our Lord scrambles the frequencies. Sometimes I believe that Satan's not able to understand. I think he's told so many lies that he believes his own propaganda. He's the father of lies, says the Bible, about the devil. Diablos, Satan. He's the father of lies. And we're going to see this tonight as we look at this armament concerning the Christian warfare. It says in verse 14, chapter 6, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And that's about all far we're going to get tonight. This is so important. We saw last time in verse 13, therefore take up the whole armor of God. We could see the soldier dressed in his armor, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. That's now, that's any day, that's every day. And having done all to stand, now listen to verse 14. Verse 14, the stand therefore is a tremendous bridge between these two verses. It's a link. It is so important. The standing connects us with the armament of God and our very first bit of defensive armor that we have, and that is the truth. He says, stand therefore. Okay, now that you're standing, you've got the whole armor of God. Okay, now here it is. Stand therefore. It's kind of like telling your child, listen, get on the bike and start pedaling because you've got training wheels. You've got training wheels. You can go. But I'm afraid I'm going to fall. You can't fall. You've got training wheels. He says, now that you've got the armor of God, Christian, stand therefore. It's not wishful thinking. It is a command. Paul is giving us a command to stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth. And we're going to get into this tonight. Stand with this very first bit of armament. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? That's kind of a sad question. I studied that. That's a very hopeless question that he asked. Put yourself in Pilate's shoes when Jesus was being there judged just before his death. Jesus is telling Pilate a response to his question. Pilate asked him, are you a king? And Jesus says, you said it. And he began to speak about truth. And Pilate, in disgust and in hopelessness, he says, what is truth? Rome claimed to know truth, and it was leading them nowhere. They were philosophers, and they were gainsayers. They were prophets and all, and it wasn't giving them any insight. It wasn't helping them along at all. And so Pilate, in his nobility and in his power, being an insider, so to speak, into the realm of Rome, he says, what is truth? I mean, gee whiz, who can tell these days? It almost sounds like the man on the street news reporter today, huh? What is truth? The Bible tells us here that we need to be, as Christians, standing strong, standing firm, girded with our waist about with truth. Truth around our waist. It's a dangerous thing. And people are asked on the streets, "What do you think, it's true or do you think it's false?" And people are saying, "I don't really care." That's what's wrong. People don't care. What if Jesus said, "Well, I don't really care. Heaven, hell for them, whatever. I'm going back to my Father. What do I care?" You know, to every man his own. You know, whatever feels good, do it. Let the survival of the fittest be done. No. Truth. Truth is awesome because truth, like the sciences, by the way, speak of an absolute supreme authority. Truth never wavers. It never changes. Truth is truth, and it is like a rock. And people can try to reinterpret the truth. They can try to dance around it. They can try to do anything they want with it. But the truth stands sure. Jesus stands sure. The Bible says Jesus is truth. When Pilate asked, "What is truth?" truth was standing right in front of him, and Pilate couldn't see it. And so the Christian needs to be wrapped in truth. We're going to see four things tonight, very quickly, in verse 14. The first thing we'll see is that we've been given the truth of God. Jot that down if you would. We've been given the truth of God, that is the Bible. The second point we'll see tonight is that we're to be prepared to give out the truth of God. The third thing is that we're to be personally involved in the truth. And the fourth thing is that we're now to be bold regarding the truth. We are to be wrapped in the truth. First point, we've been given the truth of God. He says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." This word "having" is what we're going to focus on first. It's very important. What are you saying here by using the word "having" in English? The word is "endu" in Greek, and it means having invested in the proper clothing or to be wearing the best attire for the occasion. Isn't that funny? Having, to have it. It's not the word "girding." You would think maybe that would apply to girding. But to have, it's speaking about clothing. I have a purple shirt. Now, you may not think it's appropriate tonight, but it's cool and it's hot in here. Thus, it's appropriate for me. But the word means to have it, to have the appropriate attire that is needed. It is a word in the Greek specifically for that occasion. And that's fantastic. If you go to the beach, a formal gown would be quite ridiculous. If you go to the ball with a bathing suit on, you'd look like a fool. They probably wouldn't let you in. You're to have the right attire. And Paul is saying, now we can stand, and because we can, we are to be wearing the proper attire. 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4 says, "You therefore, my son," that's Paul talking to Tim, "be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ." This is what Paul is telling Timothy. "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may be able to please the one who has enlisted him as a soldier." So in other words, in wearing the attire of a soldier, God has provided all that is needed. It's all been done. You and I have everything, listen, everything to be successful as a Christian, victorious, having power over sin, able to contend for the faith. He has given it all to us. And so why are we squandering it? Or why are we sinking? Why are so many people giving up and going back into the world? They're giving up on it. And you know who's getting the blame? We hear it as pastors. Maybe you hear it as people of your home fellow group, home fellowship groups and all. But listen, people are just walking away from the truth. They're not applying the truth anymore. And they begin to massage it. They begin to compromise the truth. They'll say, yes, oh, I believe God is just and God is holy, but you know what? After I'm done doing this thing, he'll forgive me or whatever the case might be. And that's not right, and nor will God do that. By the way, the Old Testament talks about high-handed sin. That's how it refers to as sin of the high hand. It says in the Old Testament that premeditated high-handed sin was not to be forgiven, that God would not forgive it. There are people who think, well, I'm going to manipulate and scam and scheme and pull off this sin, lie against the truth, and God will forgive me. And he will not. Well, this little thing that I'm doing, it's not harming anybody but just me over here, and you're justifying it. That's not right, nor will you get away with it. The Bible says in the book of Numbers, your sin will reveal you, and truth will keep us from sin. And so when we walk away from Christ in sin, we've walked away, first of all, from truth. And so this word to be, wearing the best or the proper attire. Listen, the devil's strategy is to get us to tear at one another's clothing. Jesus has clothed us in righteousness. And what do I do? What do? We doubt it. We not only doubt it when we think about or look at ourselves, when we look at each other, we begin to doubt it. Oh, there's so-and-so. And Christians have this tendency to tear one another's, what, robe of righteousness? We have to be careful. One of Satan's strategies is to get us hooked on feelings rather than truth. The Bible tells us that we come to Christ by faith. Isn't it amazing, and isn't it great that it says that rather than feelings? How do you feel? And how will you feel? It's not by feelings. If we were saved by feelings, we'd be lost more than we're saved. But the fact is, we're saved by having our faith in Christ Jesus. And so we are to be standing strong, and we are to be girded about. Listen, we need to be applying this truth. We come to this word girded. Stand therefore having girded your waist. This is kind of a funny word. It sounds funny, girded. Well, whatever the word means, we do need to be girding. We need to stand up. We need to be tough when we need to be girding. Well, what is girding? Girding means to pull up and tighten all around you, the vitals. Now watch this. The word means to take a robe, because they wore robes in those days. It means to pull up your robe and to tuck it in this girdle. You would tuck it in. Why? Because you are either going to go to work, or you're going to run, or you're going to go to war. You're either going to serve, you're going to run, or you're going to go to war.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Wrapped in Truth, part of a mini-series taken from Ephesians 6 called The Christian Incomplete Armor, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, our task here at Real Radio is to equip you with all that is necessary for your growth as a true believer, which is precisely why we offer a variety of outreaches, missions, and means of equipping, like the recent Southern California Prophecy Conference here at Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. If you were here for the conference, you know that it was beyond standing room only much of the time. If you were not here, visit us at realradioactive.org and learn how to get the media and print materials from the event, the Southern California Prophecy Conference, subtitled Finding Hope in the Global Crisis. Again, realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.